I don't know about you, but I don't know. I feel in the evening rested. Maybe it's the day, Christian Sabbath. Just feel rested, ready for the coming week. May God bless this time that we have together here as we finish out this Sabbath, as we prepare for the week, and not just the week, but also as we prepare for the Lord's return. We're going to have an Old Testament reading. We're going to, if you may, go with me and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 10, and then I'll read from verse 10 through 19. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, and then 10 through 19. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Unto the perfect day. Isn't that what we wait for? The perfect day. Well, this evening, we're going to read here through 1 John. And so if you'll turn to me, and this is our sermon scripture. 1 John chapter 1, and I'll read the first 7 verses. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Well, verses 6 and 7, we will revisit more in future exhortations. So I'll barely touch upon verse 7. And I'll touch a little bit more on verse 6. But our focus this evening will be verse 5, especially the clause, God is light. First, we must return to the earlier verses of the epistle to maintain some early connections to our focus this evening, God is light. And you'll see how this will develop. Let us do that by starting with the end of verse 1, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father. The word of life, the person of Christ, he is that eternal life who was manifested and is the eternal Son who was with the Father and has been declared to you, dear people of God. As we have already heard in earlier exhortations, Christ is declared where the apostolic fellowship is taking place. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. The us we may have fellowship with refers to the apostles. Thus, the Christ the apostles saw and handled is declared to you, God's church, so that we may have fellowship with the apostles. Where is this apostolic fellowship taking place? Think about that. It's something we have already talked about in previous exhortations. The apostolic fellowship is taking place where Christ is declared. Not just any Christ, but only the same Christ the apostles saw and handled. That is where the apostolic fellowship takes place. In the first few verses, we also heard about the apostolic witness. We heard how the apostles heard, saw, and handled the Christ. The apostle John in this epistle continued to declare the same Christ the apostles had witnessed firsthand years before John wrote this epistle. John continued to write in this epistle about that same Christ that years earlier, before Christ had ascended, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He still wrote about that same Christ here. No longer was John declaring Christ firsthand when he wrote this epistle, because Christ had already ascended. So by faith and apostolic authority, John wrote and continued to declare in this epistle about Jesus Christ so that the church's joy may be full. And may we continue to do the same until he returns, to declare that same Christ and to read these same writings in Scripture. We also already heard where the apostolic fellowship is taking place, where the same Jesus is being declared that the apostles themselves witnessed 2,000 years ago, that gathering of people who hear the gospel declaration of Jesus Christ, that is where not only the apostolic fellowship is taking place, but that is where the fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, is taking place. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what John's epistle in the first three verses speak about. Undoubtedly, there is much more here in these first three verses, but what we have heard has been the focus so far. The fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, is enjoyed where God's people hear the declared word of life, Christ Himself. God's people hear the declared word in gathering. God calls them to worship Him, and His people congregate together to hear the declaration of Christ. That gathering is known as the church, or as we have heard from previous exhortations, we regularly confess here at Calvary OPC, at the partaking of the Lord's Supper, we hear the Nicene Creed. And according to that confession, we are also the gathered church called the Apostolic Church. Why? Because the church is where the apostolic fellowship is taking place, where we hear the declared to us the same Christ the apostles witnessed is the apostolic fellowship, or what the Nicene Creed confessed. And that's called the apostolic church. Here, in God's church, God is in fellowship with us. Because here at Calvary and other Christian churches worldwide, the same Christ the apostles witnessed is declared. That fellowship of God is the same thing as saying God dwells with us. Additionally, we read in verse 4, where we gather as a people of God to hear the declared apostolic witness of Jesus Christ, that is where the joy of God's people is being made full. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. These things were written to be publicly read in the gathering of God's people, the Apostolic Church. And joy being a fruit of the Holy Spirit is a testimony to not only the fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ exists in our gathering, but also the Holy Spirit is in fellowship with us. The Holy Spirit dwells with us here at Calvary or any other Christian church. Each Lord's Day, we with joy given by the Holy Spirit, we joyfully magnify and exalt God in song and praise and prayer and hearing of the Word. The Holy Spirit fills us with a joy for our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John, or John's epistle, this letter of John and all the writings of Scripture were not private letters sent to a hermit or some isolated person that's living who knows where for his or her own enjoyment. John's letter was not sent to a private household. John's letter was not sent by John for our own private edification. John's letter was written to the apostolic church, God's people, where the word of life is declared. Again, none of what we've heard up until now is new. We heard all of this in previous exhortations. But as we will hear, recalling what we previously heard will be helpful as we begin to hear more about God is light. And so God is light. Let's consider verse 5 and how verse 5 has a message. We read in verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you." Think to yourself about the answers to the following questions that I'll be given. What is the message? Now, this first question, I'm going to hold that off to the side here for now. But here's another question. This is the message which we, and who are we? We refers to the apostles. This is the message which we, the apostles, heard from Him. Who did the apostles hear from? who is the Him in verse 5. Him is the Father. We know that from verse 7. That is where we read at the end of verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All of the hymns of verses 5 and 6, or the pronoun in verse 7, He, as in He is in the light, these pronouns refer to God the Father, the first person of the one and only triune God. The Father having this one and only eternally begotten Son who is the person of Jesus Christ. This Jesus is the Father's Son. Back to the original question. What message did the apostles hear from the Father? And John wrote here in verse 5 that the apostles want to also declare to you, God's church. What is that message from the Father? We read what that message is in verse 5, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Psalm 139, verse 12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, God, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And that light He is extends beyond God's very being. For He is a light that brightly shines. Darkness, which God is not, cannot hide from God. Night shines as day to God. Now let's hear about God's covenant with His people and what this has to do with God as light. We will also hear what God's covenant has to do with the apostolic church and God fellowshipping with His people. This is where it's all going to be brought together here. Everything that we have talked about and seen in these first verses can really be pulled tightly knit together here in verse 5. And especially this clause, God is light. God's salvation of His people is covenantal for the elect in Christ. What does it mean that God's salvation is covenantal? Throughout Scripture, God repeats what He means by covenantal. When God made covenant with Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants of the faith, God said, and we read in Genesis 17:7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you." God said here to Abraham to be God to you and your descendants after you. You are His descendants, dear Christian. The standard repetition in Scripture is as follows: I will be your God, and you will be my people. And God never wavers from that. In other words, as put here to Abraham, God will be God to Abraham, and God will be God to Abraham's descendants. And as a reminder, Abraham's descendants are those of the faith, those who worship the one and only God of Scripture. As we read in Galatians 3:29, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." God made covenant with Abraham and his seed, which means God is God of Abraham and God of all of Abraham's spiritual descendants. By spiritual, I mean all people, whether Jew or Gentile, who believe in the one and only God who has been revealed and written about and what we call the Bible. These spiritual descendants of Abraham, in other words, you, dear Christian, God made a covenant with us at the time with Abraham when he was bodily alive on earth. And God making a covenant with his people therefore means God revealed he will be our God. In Exodus 6:7, before God delivered the 12 tribes of Israel out of Egypt, God declared to Moses the same covenant. We read, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 7:23 also speaks of the same covenantal relationship God's people enjoy. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Here in Jeremiah, the standard phrase is given, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. God is still our God, dear Christian. God made a covenant to be God with his people. By the grace of God, through the gift of faith, we believe and know in our hearts God is our God. We belong to him, the God who is light. We belong to him, not the light of the sun or campfire or lightning bug, right? We're not talking about that kind of light. We're talking about this infinitely different kind of light. And this is very covenantal. How? When God delivered his people out of Egypt, God led and dwelt with us, his people of the faith. As we read in Exodus 13, 21 and 22, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The Lord himself went before them. God was being God to his people. God was in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire to lead and give them light. There was a miraculous physical light leading the way so the people could see during the night, but God himself was also leading the way, being that kind of light for his people. A lead only God himself can do. Follow him. Let him light your way. After God began to dwell with the Israelites in a pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, the Israelites were confronted with the Red Sea. As we will read here shortly, after God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians had already gone onto the dry land exposed by the parted waters to chase our spiritual ancestors, God revealed he is the angel of God in the cloud and fire. Exodus 14:19. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. That's significant. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. The angel of God, who had been in the cloud by day and in the fire by night, moved from before them, before the Israelites, to then be behind them. And we read in the very next verse, verse 20, So the angel of God came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. How wonderful. Listen to this. Wonderful. The angel of God, who is God Himself, in the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, came between the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. To the Egyptians, He was a cloud and darkness. To us, our spiritual ancestors of the faith, God not only gave the Israelites light during that night, but God was a light to His people. He was leading them out of wicked Egypt and away from His people's enemies. God separated the two from each other. God's people were separated by God Himself from and away from the wicked Egyptians. God was not merely leading His people away, as we will hear. The God of light was leading His people towards something. And God is doing that with us today. He's leading His people away from His and our enemies. And we're going towards something. Back to 1 John for a moment in verse 6. It is written that those who are in the dark are liars. It's a very strong word, isn't it? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. The Egyptians were put in the dark by God. The Egyptians were walking in darkness, not only a physical darkness on the dry land of the Red Sea, but spiritually the Egyptians were no people of God at all. They were unbelievers. They were walking in darkness. And yet we read here in 1 John in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, our spiritual ancestors, those believers of old who walked through the departed waters of the Red Sea, they were walking in the light of God. They had faith. God was leading them out of wicked Egypt, right? Out of this wicked world towards something. Remember the exchange of Jesus and the unbelieving Jews in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God is leading His people toward the light of Christ, toward Him, so that we may have the life He is and have that forever. But there is more to where God was leading His faithful people, as we will hear. There's still more here. After God's people traveled through the Red Sea, Moses was commanded by God to climb Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord, who was still revealing Himself by way of the cloud. God revealed where the cloud is. That's where God's glory is, as we will see here in Exodus 24, verses 15 to 18. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. In the cloud, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. God spoke to Moses about many things at Mount Sinai. There was the giving of the Ten Commandments and other instructions by God to Moses for God's people. One of those instructions was the people were to make a tabernacle where God would specially dwell with His people. Right? He is their God. He's going to dwell with them. Especially, though, because we know God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. We can worship God everywhere, but there is a special kind of worship and dwelling that happens with the people of God. Look around yourself now. What we are doing here, right now, as I'm looking at you, you can look at each other and see. This is not something that's just done at home or at your job or anywhere else unless you're visiting another church. This is not particularly about you, but look at the gathering you are a part of. What kind of gathering is this? We come together to worship God together. We are not gathering together like this at each other's house. Right? There are some churches that do that. There are church houses. And of course, if you're a visitor and you're part of a church house, but if you're a member of this church and you're at a church, well, maybe you need to talk to your elders, right? That's just not something you do outside of here. This is a special gathering that we here now are experiencing. There is something special that God is doing right here, right now, to have called us to gather together this evening to worship Him, together in song and prayer and offering, reading and hearing of His Word, and everything else experienced in our worship service. There is a distinct thing happening here that is not happening anywhere else except in other Christian churches worldwide and throughout history. We should not water down and remove what is distinctly happening here at Calvary and other Christian churches in our worship of the Lord each and every Lord's Day. Do not become lukewarm on this. By the end of Exodus, we read how that tabernacle God instructed to build was completed. Once completed, we read in Exodus 40, 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud, that same cloud where God dwelt leading His people out of Egypt and was on top of Mount Sinai with Moses, that cloud where the glory of the Lord was, that cloud then covered the completely constructed tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled it. The tabernacle was where His people were to worship God, where God specially and distinctly dwelt with them. And He does so today. God is everywhere, but God specially dwelt in that local tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled it. So what was God leading His people toward? God not only salvifically delivered His people out of wicked Egypt, but God delivered His people so that His people may worship Him. God led His people out of wicked Egypt, out of this wicked world, to a gathering where they worship Him. And that's where we are. Praise be to Him. When King Solomon had completed the construction of the temple in Jerusalem 480 years after God led His people out of Egypt, which the temple was the permanent replacement for the nomadic wilderness tabernacle, the visible sign of God's special and distinct gracious presence again appeared before the people. The glory of the Lord filled the temple as he did in the wilderness tabernacle. 2 Chronicles 7:1-3. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." May we continue to say the same, "For he is good." God's special, distinct, gracious local presence would not continue at the temple. God's spacious, special presence departed the temple generations later. We read about the glory of the temple departing the temple in chapter 10, verses 4 and 18 of the prophet Ezekiel. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple. The court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. God is light. His glory is bright. I mean, just even thinking back, knowing that in our heart, dear Christian, can we not say in response by faith, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever. He is with us. His glory is bright. He is exalted in his very being and all of his works. He is a bright, glorious light." Lastly, let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul says about God's covenant. And in the temple, and God dwelling with his people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people." This goes on, and praise be to him. We belong to him. He is dwelling with us. Paul says we are the temple. The temple of the Old Testament era was where God dwelt. And Paul says the same thing about God's people being the temple. We, the apostolic church, are where God dwells, being our God, and we, his people. John, in this epistle, reveals to God's people that message from the Father, which is, God is light. That bright glory of the Lord dwelt with God's people in the Old Testament era, and continues to dwell with his people in our New Testament era. The one and only God who is light fellowships with us, filling our joy. The God of light was with his people, salvifically leading them out of wicked Egypt toward where he would specially dwell with them. And John wrote the same. The word of life is declared. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. He is God who became flesh to save a people unto Himself. The God of light to this day, being our God, fellowships with His people, the apostolic church, filling our joy so we may hear the Father's message, God is light. He lights our way to life out of the death of this wicked world. And He is a bright and glorious light, is He not? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You have delivered us. You have done so for thousands of years. The elect in Christ are being delivered and called to You to worship You. We are being delivered out of this fallen, wicked world. This world where we find only death. And we are called to You, for You are a bright light. And Your light, Your brightness is full of life. You, as Christ said, He, Christ Himself, is the light of the world. And He is life. And by You fellowshipping with us, You dwelling with us, You are delivering us, bringing us ever closer to You. And may You continue to bless Your people and continue to dwell with us here, even at Calvary. And we praise and thank You in Christ's name. Amen.